Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. President Barack Obama met with business leaders this week to talk about a proposed immigration reform bill. The president says immigration reform is a priority for him in the rest of this year and said he thinks there may be enough votes in the House to pass it, including some Republicans he thinks will support it. The Senate passed a bill in June, but things have been more or less stalled since then. By some accounts, there are 11 million undocumented folks in the country. Last weekend, a group of about 20 immigration reform supporters set out to march across the 5th Congressional District of U.S. Representative Susan Brooks to ask her support. Their four-day walk began at St. Monica Catholic Church on the northwest side of Indianapolis and followed Indiana 32 to Anderson, about 50 miles. I walked with them for about an hour, talking with people along the way and as they stopped for a couple of breaks. I wanted you to hear some of the people we met, a couple of Hispanic teenagers occasionally targeted with racist taunts for who they are, and a Baptist preacher who gave them a place to rest but still isn't sure what he thinks about immigration. But now, take a walk. You're slogging through high grass and weeds along the side of a state highway. People wear rosary beads, sing songs. Some push baby strollers. It's a long highway, so you talk with the person next to you. Yeah, tell me your name.
Bibi Martinez.
Where are you from?
Originally, I was born in Mexico.
How about now? Where do you live now?
I live in Indianapolis now.
What do you do there?
So I go to high school at Indianapolis Lighthouse. I am a senior, and I'm 17 years old.
Tell me why you're doing this.
The reason why I'm doing this is because I'm also undocumented, and I know what it feels like to be undocumented, to live that life, and to not be able to progress and move any further because of it.
What do you think people don't understand about what's going on?
I think that people don't understand that you and I are human beings, and the only thing that's separating us is miles from where we were born. I think that people don't understand that we are here not because we want to cause threat or because we want to take jobs away or because we're trying to steal anything from you, but we just want to be able to live life and be happy and progress and give the best to our family as well, because we know that the U.S. has that. Otherwise, we would not be here.
How old were you when you came to the United States?
I was 6 turning 7.
Is it possible that you could be deported?
Well, I have deferred action now, which gives me permission to be here for 2 years. And then I have to renew it and pay again, which is a fee of like $465. Hold on.
Back in the jungle.
Sorry.
What's this been like, by the way? How many miles have you walked so far?
Well, I started at St. Monica in Indianapolis. Like, it'd be like more than 30 miles, I think.
What's the most memorable thing that's happened so far?
Seeing people, not just Hispanics, and seeing all those people come together, and seeing a person from a different background of yours to feel what you're going through and to support you is just one of the best feelings and one of the best things that God likes to see, because he likes to see his children come together. And I think that I can feel that and I see that when we all share stories and when we all expose ourselves to others. I see us all come together, and I feel like that's a beautiful feeling, because in every one of us, when I see someone smile or someone, you know, when they appreciate what you do, you can feel that love and you feel that support, and it just makes you move on forward.
Have you had any bad reactions from people along the walk?
Oh, for sure. There was this lady that flicked us off when we were walking, and I didn't find that disrespectful towards me. I found it more disrespectful because we were coming in the name of God, and we had a cross, and I just felt like whether you believe in God or not, I think that we should be respectful, right? And so I just found that really disrespectful. And also, like, so I started being involved in the eighth grade, and that was like the first time that like it actually hit me, because I was starting out to be like an activist and everything. And I went to this meeting in Lafayette with this, I remember his name, he was a congressperson, I believe, or senator. And he was like anti-immigrant. And so he was so strategic about like anti-immigration and how he was against it. And I was in the eighth grade, and that just made me cry, like just bawl out crying. I didn't know how to respond to him. And so being through that has really like shaped who I am today, because his words were so powerful and so negative towards us that it just made me see how like I wasn't appreciated or wanted here. And I was never faced through that, really. Nobody ever taught me like how to face through those things, or I didn't know about racism, really.
What's been the reaction to your situation from your fellow students in high school?
So in my high school, I'm the only Hispanic as a girl there. And there's only two Hispanic boys in my grade. And they don't really comprehend it well, what I'm doing. And I try to explain, but there's still so much ignorance out there. And I don't blame them, because it's not their fault. But when I try to explain to them, it's still very hard for them to like understand. And it's hard for people to change either. Do not call me illegal, to call me undocumented, because no human being is illegal. And they get offended when I tell them to call me undocumented. So it's hard, but I try to push on forward, because I just want to be treated for the person that I am, not as what society tells everybody else that I am.
What gives you the most hope about all this?
I believe in God. And that I always say in Spanish, que sea la voluntad de Dios, which means let it be God's will. And we all know at the end of the day, we said from the very beginning, if God doesn't want this for us, that's okay, but because that's God's plan. But if he wants it for us, we'll keep fighting for it, because he gives us hope. And as long as we have hope and faith, then we will keep going, because we know that that's what God wants.
Are there times when you see what's going on in the news and,
sure.
I mean, some people are hard-hearted.
Yeah. Like, I was in the news once about, like, immigration and how I wanted to go to college, but that I couldn't because of my status. And I checked the comments just for the heck of it, and I saw all the comments were negative. There was, like, about 20 comments, and none of them were positive. And that, like, made me want to cry. It made me feel really bad, because I've never faced racism like that up front. Like, it's never been up to my face. I was never, like, I've encountered it, but not so directly or so negative, like right at me.
Bibi Martinez, an Indianapolis high school senior, age 17, among those on the immigration march from the northwest side of Indy to Anderson earlier this week.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
So we saw a group of about 20 folks calling for immigration reform were trying to make their point by marching from the northwest side of Indianapolis to Anderson last week. We joined them for about an hour, talking especially with a couple of young people, teenagers born in Mexico but raised in this country. The group stopped for some water and something to eat late in the afternoon last Sunday. They were at a country church about 30 miles from their starting point. While they rested up, I talked with the pastor, who offered to let them stay on his property for a while.
My name is Mark Lau, L-O-W-E.
And your pastor here at...
Bethel Missionary Baptist Church here in Noblesville.
And y'all had an event this weekend?
Or? Yes, we had a revival slash homecoming day all weekend, and it was really good. We had a lot of folks we hadn't seen in a while came by. So.
Good turnout?
Yes, good turnout, yeah.
So these folks are doing a pilgrimage on the subject of immigration and everything. Did you talk with them at all? Or?
Not really. I just met one fellow out here at the end of the drive, yeah.
You let them use your property to...
Yes, I told them that's fine. They was eating their lunch. I said, that's fine.
What's the mood of people today in your church? I mean, we've come off a tough economic period. How are things going here in Noblesville and in your congregation?
Well, our congregation, we've struggled also financially, and our numbers are down. And I guess we could blame a lot of things for it, a lot of reasons. But we're coming back, and I think things are working much better now. I don't know if that's the financial end of it, but our numbers are picking up, and that's good.
Well, big thing is how people's attitude. I mean, are mm-hmm. people hopeful?
Yeah, biblically, as we see it, we know things are going to continue to get worse and worse. But as far as the economy and the things with our people right here right now, it seems like there's been a little bit of an improvement in that. But a lot of our folks are working jobs now that they didn't used to have. And we've got people that have got a lot of education, have to take smaller paying jobs. We've got some that's out of work. Even some of our congregants are having to work on Sundays. And so that's taking them out of church. So we have several of those folks that can't be here on Sundays. And so it has taken its toll on us somewhat.
How does the immigration thing work into that? Does that ever get discussed?
Not a lot. I guess the subject comes up once in a while. But we like everybody. You know, the Lord's taught us to love everybody. It doesn't matter what color, culture, where they're from, or anything, you know. And so we're very welcoming to all people. And we love to have anybody come visit us. We understand that. Now, from a national point of view, I would love to see anybody come be a citizen of the U.S. just like I'm a citizen of the U.S. But I know there's some questions about all that. What the end result of that be, I don't know. But I would like to see anybody that desires to be an American citizen and learn our language and become Americans, I would be for it.
You know, there's a lot of folks who are here undocumented, 11
yes.
million people
yes,
or something like that. What do you think about that?
We need to have documentation for them. We need to make them citizens if that's what they desire. But there again, they need to become Americans if they come here. And that's my feeling on it. And so I'd love to have them and welcome them just like the pilgrims came here. You know, we was foreigners then coming in here. But I would love to see more people be able to fulfill those desires. They want to be Americans, and I understand why. If I was in their shoes, I'd want to be an American. I'd want to be a citizen. But I would want to understand that, you know, I have to fit into this culture, and I would want to be accepted. But at the same time, I'm not living in the country I came from. I'm living in a new country. And so I would have to adapt to their culture and their ways, which would be learning the language and becoming an American citizen.
Do you think that some folks are angry about the immigration question?
Oh, yeah. I've read a lot of things and heard a lot of things. People are very angry about it and, you know, wanting to build their wall all the way across Texas and California and all that. I think it's kind of foolish, but there's no reason to get upset about it. We got to just look back about 400 years and realize our forefathers, how hungry they were to come to here to get away from England. They were being persecuted in England and Great Britain, so they come here. And so we understand, if we really look at the depths of it, we need to understand that they have the same feelings that our forefathers had 400 years ago.
That's Pastor Mark Lau, Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, east of Noblesville, coming off a weekend revival, who let the immigration marchers take a break on his church's property. Straight ahead, the young man at the head of the march, a 16-year-old high school student whose story may surprise you.
Far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a
This is Indiana star. Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
There was quite a sight on Indiana 32, east of Noblesville, the other day. A group of about 20 folks, mostly Hispanic, marching along the side of the busy highway on the third day of a four-day, 50-mile march to Anderson for immigration rights. They started on the northwest side of Indianapolis and were walking to get the attention of Susan Brooks, the 5th District Congressional Representative. The group hopes the public will support their call for immigration reform, including an end to deportations while the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the country find a path to citizenship. It's a complicated topic, of course, and you can find plenty of information about the congressional resolution and the wider debate about immigration reform. But I thought you might want to hear the voices of some of the folks involved, including Jesus Ramirez, a 16-year-old high school student who helped organize the march and was at the front of the walkers in a bright yellow safety vest.
Actually, I'm one of the people who actually planned this out, thought about the pilgrimage to start with. I thought that we should do something crazy that would show and at least spread the word out for people who are driving by, because a lot of people, they just watch TV and hear it in a different view. But if we're walking and showing people that we're down to do whatever we have to and show it off in the streets, we can actually reach a lot more people than TV probably can.
You're a student?
I'm a student. I'm Perry Meridian High School. I just switched there from Beech Grove lately, so I'm a fresh new student at Perry.
What's that like?
It's tough. I left Beech Grove because of death threats, because I was Latino. There was graffiti saying I was going to die on the last day of school my freshman year. We asked the school if we could have police reports. Supposedly they had them. They never did. So my security wasn't very safe right there, so I had to move.
How's the new school?
The new school's pretty good. It's a lot more diverse. There's a lot of Burmese immigrants. There's a lot of Latino immigrants. So I can help them relate to my story, and I can relate to their story. So I think the community there is a lot stronger than immigration-wise.
What's your story? You were born elsewhere, and you mm-hmm. came to the United States. What age were you?
I came to the United States in 2004. I was only 7. We came. My uncle was burned alive in Mexico. And my uncle was burned alive in Mexico. He was tied to a tree.
Why?
So he was a professional hairstylist, and he was on his way to a tour on China, and cartels down there intercepted him and caught him, and he didn't want to give up his money, so he got burned alive. And my dad started like an investigation with the police, and they caught him, but the person who killed him was actually orders by the military of Mexico. So what kind of security was down there if the old military sent people to kill my uncle? So my dad was a businessman, my mom was a registered nurse. It wasn't secure, so we decided to come over here, migrated with a tourist visa. Here, my dad's a construction worker, my mom's a Taco Bell worker. So going from a businessman to a construction worker, and my mom going from a registered nurse to Taco Bell is a big jump for them. And I'm doing it especially for them because it's what they love, and they can't express it, they can't do it. And also because I know that a registered nurse is well needed in Indianapolis. And I know a lot more businesses need to be out in Indianapolis. And my dad could do that. He could bring more jobs to the table, but we can't because he doesn't have an IDID number.
Yeah, so they're undocumented.
Yes.
And you are too.
I am too. Yeah. Yep. So that's a struggle. And another struggle is coming home every day and fearing that I'm not going to see them, because since they don't have a license, they can get stopped, sent to ICE. ICE will take them to Mexico, and I'm here by myself. So that's another fear I face every day as soon as I leave the door. As soon as I say bye to them, I just give them the blessing and make sure that when I get back, I hope they're there.
What a thing to have to carry around. What a thing to think about.
And it's really tough, especially that fear I've had it since I was 7. So what 7-year-old should have to worry about seeing their parents again? So these kids that are walking with us right now, the youngest is about 2 years old. I mean, what is he going to do if his mom's reported, you know? So it's a lot of challenges we all face, and that's really our mentality and what we're thinking about the whole time that we're walking, just keeping that straightforward, that we don't want any more separations, we don't want any more deportations, not one more.
What do you think about the reaction of other people?
So far as we're walking, I think the impression that people are giving us by beeping their cars is actually a positive, because after a beep, they'll give us a thumbs up. So it seems like it's more positives than we got negatives. We've had a couple of negative comments. One that was actually pretty interesting, I want to share that, is a lady said, she yelled at us and said a couple cuss words, and then she said, why don't you guys do it the right way? And I told everyone to just calm down and not say anything back, because we're not here to argue. But I did say, if we had a response to that, what would you guys do? And I said, well, we would tell her what is the right way.
Any other reaction? People get the finger, that sort of thing?
We haven't had any physical finger or anything so far. Just yelling saying, be nurse. We've had that couple of words. But we haven't had any physical aggression, no fingers. So, I mean, I think it's been a lot more positive than it's been negative. And that's probably a reason why our spirits are still up. Because people, as soon as we walk by and we're getting tired and there's a beep, it wakes us up and we just keep on going. So it's kind of like it's motivating to see people agree with us and giving us the thumbs up more than we see people yelling at us and telling us something bad. So far it's been pretty good.
What's your age?
I'm 16.
What do some people just not understand about all of this?
I think some people, what they don't, it's not necessarily what they don't understand, it's just what it's been taught and said over the years. Like, I know there's a lot of people that say, like, Latinos don't pay taxes and all that stuff. It's something that someone started who didn't like Latinos or was against immigration, and they adopted it as a fact, and it kept on growing, and it kept on growing to now where it's a point where people see it as a fact, but it's really not. I mean, we got to understand the concept that if legislation was to pass, they're going to ask some kind of proof that you've been living in the United States. And most of the time, that proof is taxes. So you're saying you're going to have to prove 11 million. So the 11 million have been paying taxes that they're going to want to stay. So it's just people adopted something that someone started and just kept on going with it. People also have that concept of it's the 11 million are going to come here to the United States. They're already here. It's not like they're just going to migrate now and join. There are people who are giving money to the economy, people who are supporting the UN, U.S. So it's just time to for people to realize that we're already here and we're contributing just like anybody else.
Are you worried that they could pick you up?
I'm worried that I can get picked up, but I'm the type of people that think over other people first. So if I get picked up, I know that at least I tried to do something, and I have that self-satisfaction. So I've never really thought about myself getting picked up. I know that there's a possibility, but I never think about myself getting picked up. I just think about other people. And if I was to get picked up, it's God's glory, and whatever he decides to do, I leave it in his hands.
You're a junior in high school?
I'm a junior in high school, yes.
What do you want to do? What's your plan for college and studying that?
I want to be a doctor. That's been my plan for a couple years, but after a little of doing all this activism, politics is really getting to me. Just, I've been learning a lot about politics and how systems work, and there's a lot of things in the world that are not correct. Like, they're just not right. It's just not immigration. So I know that after we win this fight, because we will win this fight, there's a lot more things that we'll have to do and fight for things to be okay. Because I know after this, jobs are going to be a big problem. Healthcare is going to be a big problem. And there's a lot of things that we need to change. And I'm going to be one of those people who's going to stand up and do the same thing, even if it's not for me, but it's for the whole United States.
A small slice of a big story, immigration reform. Wanted to take you along as 20 people, mostly Hispanic folks, marched from Indianapolis to Anderson to talk about the effects of our current policy. As you heard, we talked with two high school students, including one who said it's tough to leave home every day, not sure if your parents might be picked up and deported while you're gone. And we heard from the country pastor, interested in a humane solution to immigration, but not exactly sure what that might mean. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. And on the eve of Veterans Day, thanks to members of the armed forces, past and present. To all the folks listening, glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.